morning. This is Donna Carlin. I am a master corporate executive coach, better known as the Shadow Coach, and the founder and principal of the School of Shadow Coaching. I thank the Institute of Coaching for letting me speak with you today. In this session, we're going to explore the power and impact of shadow coaching. So I'd like to give you a little bit of a taste of what I do and to step into my shoes before I tell you how I do what I do. I've been doing this work for close to 33 years, and to tell you how much I love every minute of it is an understatement. And I'm inviting you to just step into my world for a moment and have a small taste. Working with global leaders from the corporate realm to heads of state, I can tell you that every day is unexpected, unplanned for the most part, and revealing not only to my clients, but to me personally. About halfway into my career, I made a conscious decision to shift the focus of my work from long-term care patients and critically ill cancer kids, their parents and caregivers, to working with leaders in the political, corporate, government, military, and policing realms, leaders in many parts of the world who make decisions that profoundly impact lives every single day. So picture this for a moment. On the Hill, TVs are on, tuned into what's happening in the news. Communication specialists, political advisors, high-level government officials, subject matter experts, and world leaders rush in and out of offices and meetings. Cell phones constantly buzz, and reports, press releases, and briefings are written, distributed, reviewed, edited, commented on, and delivered. That is the norm on a good day when there are no major catastrophes such as tsunami, quakes, bombings overseas, issues from the front line, or dramatic fluctuations in the value of the dollar, dramatically affecting imports, exports, and trade. On top of this, take into account the political balance of power, and then it really gets busy. That is one world that I coach in. I'll give you another glimpse. Let me share with you an experience I had with a border guard. I've been coaching one of the border guards for about a year at this point. And in case you might be wondering, so it would not conflict with what he had to do in the purview of his job, I would never go to his cubicle when entering the country. That was a spoken and unspoken rule to avoid any conflict of interest. One very early morning, and I mean early, about 5 o'clock in the morning, I was in conversation with another border guard at the airport, and my client, as he walked by, turned to him and said, "Oh, is Donna working with you too?" The agent I was speaking with had no idea what his colleague was talking about and asked him to clarify. All my client told him was, "Just ask her what she does," and he walked away. Describing what I do is a lot more difficult and would have taken way too much time. So I said to him, "Let me show you rather than tell you, okay?" He agreed, so I began by asking, "How long have you been a border guard?" He answered, 15 years. So I asked him, "When you started this job, did you have a statement of work describing what your job would entail?" He said, "Yes." I asked him, "Has that statement of work changed at all?" He answered, "Minimally, as I worked myself up in the ranks, but overall, it's the same job." I asked him, "But has anything changed in the last 15 years that powerfully influences how you do your job?" His answer was 9/11. We talked about how he changed as a result of that event. He talked about his fear that lay beneath the surface, making him wonder and keeping him up at night as to whether or not he might be letting a terrorist into the country, fears he didn't really have before 9/11, and how he battles them. My response was, "That's where my work begins." And then he asked, "How much time do you have before having to get on that plane?" In order for these agents to do the best job they can do, they have to acknowledge and recognize what might be stopping them, so they are totally present and open-minded, recognizing they have these fears, but not letting them dictate their decisions. To inform them, perhaps, yes, but not to filter decisions through their shadows. One of my clients, who was head of the military task force, illustrated the paradox involved in a highly intense environment. Clarity of purpose can make a difference to the point where stressors don't even matter. Rather, they infuse the environment with energy. That's one of the things I do within task forces. He used to say, "Sometimes when you're chucked off the deep end of a cliff, you don't sink, you soar." In this case of this military task force, stress isn't overblown, it's faced head on. The intensity allows people to shine and develop. These are extraordinary people. The price of being exposed to these stressors might be in terms of being drawn into a strong, singular focus that can crowd out other people, personally and professionally. The changing, volatile environment hones skills, awareness, and the ability to respond. Even on so-called bad days, they perform and perform well. That curve of performance doesn't fluctuate as much as it might for some others. Challenges in this task force can be fierce, but they're surmountable. It's the reactions to the challenge that are variable. I work with these leaders and their teams to look at the organizational systems which are in place and whether or not they support these teams or not. They can easily burn out. 20% of the overall larger team, the tactical decision makers, do 80% of the work. Therefore, it's changing the team dynamic where we create micro teams, small groups of tactical decision makers who rotate in and out. This way, they have the space to breathe, recoup, and disconnect before having to dive back into the deep end. Their speed of processing information and the ability to respond, not react, to the complexity of their environment has to become second nature. My role as their shadow coach and my focus in this environment is to help them become so self-aware they recognize when burnout is on the horizon and initiate the rotation of team members to spell them. It's also to remember that there is a world outside of that task force and to make sure they stay plugged in with the rest of headquarters, colleagues, and peers, as well as not forgetting that there is a life outside of the task force. My role is never to influence decisions that implicate lives. It is to help them see all of who they are and shift how they think. I have to be alert to all that unfolds so I could feed it back in a way that is so impactful they, in effect, live a moment in time twice, process their response to it from a 360 perspective, and become so aware of what they do and how they do it and why that they could replicate this response again in another circumstance if need be. They are also so aware of their filters and emotional triggers that they won't stand in the way of making the decisions they need to make at any point in time. Are they also considering what their work life will be after the task force is no longer needed? Every conversation, choice, success, and overcome challenge helps define what post-task force life will hold for them. That is another conversation we constantly have. The future is created right now, not later. Remembering that fact is a key component when working with anyone in such a highly focused environment. When I worked with an investigative team after a plane crash, consider the complexity of what they had to do over the 4 years working in a hangar near the crash site, and I was shadow coaching and laser coaching them throughout. Millions of pieces of shattered aircraft needed to be recovered from the sea, and of more of something like 155 miles of electrical wire, each inch had to be recovered and tested in the laboratory. They retrieved 98% of the plane, despite the fact that the wreckage rested 180 feet down on the ocean floor. How do seven people stay focused? These investigators didn't go home. They worked day and night through many evenings, weekends, and holidays, and had to deal with questions from family members and small little children, such as, why is Daddy's plane in so many pieces? They were emotionally gut-wrenching. Many of them were ex-military and were reduced to tears when having to face family members who moved to this remote location and returned day after day to the investigation site wanting answers. They ultimately had to be reintegrated back into life after one of the most exhaustive and comprehensive investigations in the world ever undertaken. That was part of my job. My work brings me into extraordinary situations, anything from working with a diplomat dealing with an attempted hijacking, working with another client having to close down an embassy in the Middle East within a 24-hour period and getting all people to safety, whether dealing with disaster relief efforts in Indonesia post-tsunami, dealing with the quake in Haiti, corporate hostile takeovers, or the emergency response center for the H1N1 pandemic. Each intervention brought an immediacy and intensity that was unlike any other I might have worked in. Just as my clients have to dance in real time with whatever unfolds, so do I. They cannot change decisions they've made, so have to have such clarity of thought and such a deep sense of who they are and how they're coming to the table in any situation that I have to dance with them, challenge assumptions, and create paradoxes for for them to work through in real time. In all arenas, my coaching happens in the context of my clients' days. These are complex and chaotic environments that never sleep, are always on call. My clients wonder what work-life balance is, as they can't remember the last time they actually were able to experience it. At least half the data I use when shadow coaching my clients is what they don't tell me. It's located between their words. I discern what wasn't said, pick up what wasn't evident, and become a catalyst so my clients can answer and discover what it was they weren't aware of in real time. I see them, where they work. I don't remove them from their chaotic environment. I coach them within it, unless it's such a volatile situation or location. We work with whatever means is available to us to have the conversations we need to have. I then start shifting the lead of our coaching relationship slowly over to the client, teaching them to become reflective practitioners. I want them to feel coached 24/7. It enables people not only to benefit from the continuous presence of a coach over an extended period of time, but also develops their own role as self-observer for the long term. I could tell you it's multifaceted. It's living through and watching life unfold in the moment. It's observing an individual's place within their world, which is unique, of course, to each client, and shining a light on who they are for them and all the world to see. To a great extent, coaching has traditionally been a somewhat controlled process where the coach has some idea where the sessions will start based on the previous session or client information. Here, there's nothing planned. You go with the flow. Have to think quickly on your feet, bite your tongue when you're dying to say something, and literally and unconsciously for the client, create space for the client to process, learn, integrate change, and create even in the midst of chaos. I always ask myself and my students, are you giving your clients what they want and need or what they think they can get from a coach? This methodology is not something that happens later. It's almost an immediate method of coaching, so corporate executives and political leaders don't have to look way down the road for possible change. They make it happen now. What do my clients need from me right now? That's the reality check question I ask 100 times a day. Shadow coaching is one way to get results in a short time that might have taken months with more traditional coaching methodologies. Let's face it, in 3 days, a client might get 9 hours of coaching. Often more in short increments is needed. And in 3 days, at least 24 hours of observations, creating a synergistic partnership. Together, we remove roadblocks, illuminate shadows, change communication styles to be crystal clear, work with their energy, see all of who they are and can be, and help them change their decision-making processes, among other things. Once they learn to think and dance in the moment, they never go back. In 5 days, strategically scheduled, the evolution could be dramatic. Clients evolve at warp speed because you're there to partner with them through these changes, see how they integrate them, and work with other emerging roadblocks, shadows, and filters. As more and more people in an organization are coached, then learn how to self-reflect, the culture of the organization changes to where the shift in behavioral norms changes to an appreciative one. In partnering with my clients through their days, solutions and strategies are created to help develop, support, and sustain organizational leaders, thereby building leadership capacity overall within the organization. What are the benefits of working this way? First of all, there's no hidden agenda. Like other disciplines, shadow coaching has a rigorous ethical framework. The essence of this framework is that while we're able to generate powerful interpretations from which the clients can benefit, the coach does not hold the truth about what is best and always works within the emotional, cognitive, and physical space of the coachee. I work within the client's agenda, not mine. If I'm working with a politician, I have to park my politics and work within their intention, not mine. It's not about my politics. It's about what their intentions and their goals are. We learn and impact organizational culture without having to be a part of it. Working with a client in real time is very enticing. You become a part of what unfolds. Your presence brings an energy to a room, a group, or an organization. After a while, by virtue of being there, the culture of the organization changes as staff sees the benefit of a coach partnering with others as thought partners to help them clarify, shift, and make decisions to move them forward. A good analogy of a tennis game where each player moves, the racket moves, the ball moves, And yet once you get that rhythm of the game, a dance is created that connects people and movement and focus. That's when I know it's time for me to start fading into the background and start transitioning out of that intervention. What are the benefits to the coach? For one thing, continuous learning. In working within numerous organizations and situations, I come and go when necessary and have an impact on multiple of levels in many countries and fields of practice, as well as my own field of coaching. By working with my clients in the context of their days, my learning curve is huge, and I can take what I've learned about environmental dynamics, work conditions, cultures, politics, and emergency situations, and bring that learning to the table with the next client and the next. I can also bring my learning and insights into the classroom when I teach. I sometimes wonder if coaches get so wrapped up with coaching that they forget their students at the same time. The world is our classroom. So I ask you, are you paying attention to the level of impact your environment has on you so you continue to learn and evolve into your level of excellence? I process an extraordinary amount of data, such as behaviors, ways of interaction, communication styles, organizational design, leadership styles, written communication, political or organizational policy, and global cultures. Added to this, there are short timelines, dynamics of the workplace as a whole, energy levels, engagement, level of responsibility, global and or financial implications, political mandates, bureaucratic or organizational hierarchy, volumes of memos, reading material, emails, and correspondence, and processing time and staff support and engagement. This is my client's world and therefore my world as their shadow coach. It exemplifies the term intensely complex. Many of you are probably doing much of this, but not consciously thinking about it. It's what we do. We see our clients through their eyes. Through all the data I gather, I need to translate observations to situational snapshots of moments in time that illustrate the differences between where my clients are and where they want to be. Those comments are bridges. They bridge the gaps they're living. There is no time for hour-long sessions. Sometimes all that's available to me is a five-minute window between meetings and briefings or an elevator ride, so sessions are laser. They quickly zero in on one situation or behavior. I have to get to a key factor in seconds, articulate what I need to get across as clearly and concisely as possible so my client gets it instantly. We process that information and look for ways to integrate change immediately, and then we move on. Learning in that kind of environment is a given. Retaining that learning is much easier when it's implemented in real time and not parked on a shelf to look at if they remember later. When working with leaders in any arena, it's paramount that what I do doesn't negatively impact the amazing work my clients are already doing by radically changing their paradigm or shift of focus. Stewardship assumes, at a minimum, the operating principle of do no harm. In my work with these leaders, I have to continuously ask myself, what dimensions of stewardship must I pay attention to so I do no harm? The ability to ask a powerful question at the right moment and for the right reasons is what I believe makes a masterful coach and what evolves the client. The ability to stay silent, to see what unfolds, also shows mastery as a coach. And being there to see that moment unfold and recognizing it is what takes the client to the next level. Coaches create pictures with words. A picture is worth a thousand words. We do the reverse. With words, we recreate a picture so vivid it stays in the mind of the client and becomes a reference point for future situations. We get that point across and clearly within 2 to 3 sentences. And we give it straight, but in such a subtle way that even in a moment of extreme vulnerability, what you've said is accepted. Everyone I work with thinks, lives, and works differently. Most have no allies, not at that level, no one they could confide in a very competitive world. I can be their partner in crime, as I call it, or thought percolator, without any hidden agenda. Coaching truly is transborder. Political leaders and government experts have global impact. The better they do their work, the more they will impact a sustainable world. I help them create a meeting ground where political mandates meet passion and values. Oftentimes, that's a struggle within them to be able to live within their personal values and ethics while still implementing the will of the political power in place. Because I'm apolitical, I could bring subject matter leaders together from multiple countries to have that generative conversation they need to have to collaborate and learn from each other. I have to continually ask myself the question, am I paying attention to my level of impact, to everything I say, even just being present? Whether we work with profits, not-for-profits, or those in this world who make decisions that in some way affect people on a global basis, we do change the world one person at a time. The more we learn, the more at ease we are with what we do, and while never taking what we do for granted, the better we can help others do what they do best.